Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Welcome along. You've heard this podcast described as Andy Goldstein and Adam Catterall's one. All change. New sheriff in town. Welcome along to the now permanently Danny Kelly TalkSport Daily podcast. Ton of stuff for you in the next very short while. If you've been a regular listener, you'll know we just ram it all in. And these are the things you look forward to hearing. Now, yesterday, Liverpool grabbed a late equaliser against Manchester United at Old Trafford. We had all reaction on the final word. Plus, after the game, Trent Alexander-Arnold spoke directly to TalkSport.
They're always tough. They're always really, really competitive, I think. It's good to be involved in games like this. Probably one of the tougher games of the season. It's tough to come to a place like this, but for us, we're looking to improve, we're looking to come here and get the 3 points, and we're disappointed that we haven't today.
No one wants to keep asking about VAR and asking players about VAR, but when you're on the pitch and goals go in, I mean, what's it like for you then? You're scratching your head thinking, hang on a minute, do we go back to the centre circle? What do? We reform? I mean, what's it like when you're out there? And obviously, we're all waiting.
Yeah, there's obviously a delay in terms of checking the goals back and that, but it's something that you have to get used to. I think we've got used to that. We obviously wanted their goal to be turned over, and obviously we had a goal that was turned over, but it's just one of them. You prepare for what the decision is, and you know it can either go one or two ways, so you get ready for either way, and no matter what, the game still goes on, so that's what you need to be prepared for.
6 points at the top now. What was it like in the dressing room? I mean, basically, is it a case of, no, you just keep going, you go on? It was one of those games today. Just kind of sum it up for us.
Yeah, obviously, like I said, we were disappointed that we haven't won the game. Maybe we deserved it, maybe we didn't. We ran on our best. But for us, these are the type of games that we want to win. We want to come here and win and prove how good we are as a side. So, yeah, there was a sense of disappointment, but knowing that we've got a game in three days, and then obviously we've got the Spurs next weekend.
Genk is first. I mean, they come thick and fast, these challenges, don't they?
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be a tough test for us. Showed how good they were in the last game against Napoli, so for us it's going to be a tough test. We know that it's going to be tough to go today and get the 3 points, but like I said, it's what we want to do.
Obviously, we spoke about the technique, but it's not a technique who makes a mistake, because if you have three camera angles, it's then a human being. And I don't blame Mr. Atkinson, so, because he let the situation run, because we are. He saw it in his face. If you have a camera, when the situation was, it was like a little moment and then let a game go, because we have VAR, so you don't have to whistle it back. They scored a goal immediately. It was not like goal, it was immediately like this. Yeah, we have it. He knew it was not right. And then the VAR says, it's not clear and obvious. Yeah. So that's the interpretation, yeah? So and now we have a problem. So today, how I said, we have a point, so let's carry on. But this is a general thing. It's not Liverpool, Man United. It's a general thing that needs to be sorted. That's all.
That's a great feeling for a manager, that you can see the players given everything they've got. And but as you say, the goal is a moment of that little bit of... Of course, it's towards the end. You're going to feel tired, mentally tired, physically tired. We didn't really get out to the ball to block the cross. We didn't clear the lines as we should have. But just before that, we could have had a second goal, a couple of great counter-attacks. So overall, a very good performance, hearty performance. You know, the boys gave absolutely everything.
You look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know my view on it. I don't think this makes any difference. I think Manchester United as a project needs a different set of hands around the blueprint to take it to the next level. They've got managers like Klopp, okay, look, I think this game is more about Liverpool's shortcomings and not doing enough in this game than it was about Manchester United's, you know, resolute performance. I think it was a resolute performance. I don't think it was a compelling one.
No. And of course, once again, the criticism of Liverpool over the years, and they are champions of Europe, creativity, is that they're not quite creative enough in midfield. And sure enough, they started to bring on the Oxlade-Chamberlains and the Lallanas in the latter stage. And it was Lallana, of course, who got forward and got the goal. Yeah. Let's get the first of our calls on. This could be high octane. Jimmy is a Liverpool fan who's been at the game. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. What have you got to say about that?
What I've got to say is, you know that VAR, mm-hmm. right? It's an absolute disgrace. Forget about today and us putting the ball and them putting the ball out. Martin Atkinson should never ever referee a Liverpool game against Man United ever, because of the 17-second sending off with Gerrard mm-hmm. all them years ago. Today, how on earth can it? I'm sitting down in the stand while I'm standing up. How on earth can he not see that's a foul? There
you
are. The fellowship
is sacked. Jimmy, let me get the points in order. I don't agree with you about Steven Gerrard. He's my favourite player for many, many years, but that was a terrible foul and he had to go. But Martin Atkinson...
I'll ask you this then, OK? Steven Gerrard slaughtered Martin Atkinson in his autobiography. He's not going to give us anything. Anybody who's read Gerrard's autobiography knows what he thinks of Atkinson.
Yeah, but
he should Stephen
Gerrard's autobiography can't be allowed to run English football, can it?
No, it can't. But Martin Atkinson should never be allowed to referee a Liverpool Man U game. He's an absolute disgrace. Not one decision did he give us today. Nothing.
I mean, yeah, and listen, I certainly agree with you, Jimmy, on the basis of the fact that we in the studio and I think everyone...
I've seen it from the stands. There was a foul on
we saw it, mate.
Hang on a second. I haven't finished.
Go ahead.
The goal that was disallowed, it was both a hand and a leg.
Jimmy, mate, I'll cut you off. Now listen for 1 second. In the current way that the law is being administered this year, it doesn't matter if it's ball to hand. Any attacker who touches the ball in a move with his hand that ends up in a goal, then it's disallowed.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go with that. But what about
because it's right.
I've spent a lot of money today, right? And I've been ripped off.
All right, Jimmy, thank you very, very much. Haringey Borough manager Tom Loiseau spoke to Sunday Exclusive about his decision to take his players off after they were racially abused.
It happened 2 years ago and a few years before that. I've been at this football club for 10 years and I've heard it loads of times. But when you contact the authorities, they want evidence, don't they? Who's going to come and film every game for Haringey Borough and the lower leagues we played in a couple of years ago? Who's going to come and video all them games and go to that expense and present the FA or the police with hardcore evidence? Mm.
Tom, I admire massively what you've done. I think it's incredibly brave. It's the right thing to do. But this is the point. What have the authorities done? You walked off the pitch. The game was abandoned because of what you've done, and I believe obviously the Yeovil manager took his players off as well in a show of solidarity. Of the officials and the FA and everybody, they must have been in touch almost immediately to try and get this sorted out and get to the bottom of it, because it's absolutely it's huge.
Yeah. First of all, we had three officials, the referee in the middle and the two on either side were called assistant referees. They're not called linesmen, they're called assistant referees, and a fourth official. And in the stand, we got an FA observer. I was telling the fourth official, there's missiles being thrown at my goalkeeper, there's balls, can you please tell the referee? I just got a vacant look and a blank look. So then I saw one of my players quite distressed on the pitch. Mm. So I walked onto the pitch, the fourth official tried to stop me. I said, you better get back in your technical area because no one's stopping me now. I've gone on the pitch, I've walked up to the referee, I've said to him, what are you going to do about this, ref? He's gone to me, where's the security? Get the security. I said, that's not my job. I said, I'm asking you, what are you going to do about this? He just stared at me. So I said, okay, I'm taking my players off. And that's exactly what I did. And I took that took the players off for one and one reason only, because the look on my player's face, a couple of them were shaking, and someone had to take control. And I've done it for no other reason. No other reason at all. Just to protect my players.
Paul Hawksby here, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
On the Weekend Sports Breakfast, Tony Cascarino claimed that Jack Grealish is now ready to play Champions League. Apparently, obviously not with Aston Villa.
Well, he happened to challenge the most inspirational player on the pitch, which is Jack Grealish, who is playing... I'm delighted for Jack, because when you're a Championship player and he's been on the fringes of, you know, maybe an England player, and he's been lauded as a terrific talent, which he is, and now he's come to the Premier League, and now he put in yesterday like a captain's display, and he was terrific. And he was ultimately the difference between the two teams. Gets himself a goal just before half-time. I thought he was superb. Watching him again yesterday, I'm wondering, this is where Villa have an issue. Is, are Villa going to try and be the club that challenges the top, the elite clubs in the country? Because what they've got is a very young side put together.
Yep.
And it's energetic, and it's got a guy that is going to be, is now ready to play Champions League football. And that is Jack Grealish. He's ready to be a Champions League player. You know, go in that competition, perform.
I'm not sure they'll keep Grealish for long enough to do that, sadly.
This is the ambition of Aston Villa. Do Aston Villa want to keep him? Because if they can do that, you build round Jack. And he's a player that has to be playing at the highest level. And I feel that he's showing that he's got the heart to do it, the courage. Yesterday, his work rate was superb as well. And he makes a difference. And yes, they went down to 10 men. Aaron Moy challenge, it was a poor one. I felt sorry for Connolly, who scored two in the last game, because he was substituted at half-time and he's after been away international
because
duty.
Because of
going to 10 men, yeah. So.
Is it a matter of time before we see Grealish hit the England squad? Because I think there's a certain point at which someone becomes hard to ignore.
Well, there's three things, right? You've got Mount at Chelsea, who's done brilliant at the start of the season. You've got Madison at Leicester. And you've got, obviously, Jack Grealish. You've got three of them type of players that all can do that a little bit different, which is fantastic. They're all fighting for shirts. Maybe
and it's
two
one
spots
of our,
in England.
And it's one of our kind of questions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Queries.
And you've also got Dele Alli at Tottenham. You could probably put them four in a bracket and go, right, only two of them are going to get in the England squad out of that four.
Yeah.
Now, Jack's performing, I think, probably alongside Madison, Mount, I think the three of them are really close. Dele's obviously had a bit of a struggling season. Okay, scored yesterday, but he struggled so far this season. But them three are vying for two spots at the moment. And that shows you how good they've all been, because they've all been impressive for their clubs.
Yeah.
But Jack's performance yesterday really felt to me of a captain's performance, the way he drove Villa. And I think he does ultimately make the difference.
And of course, a Sunday exclusive wouldn't be the Sunday exclusive unless Mark Saggers, Danny Mills and Ray Houghton had their say on VAR.
The easiest change to make, because there is at the moment, there is no accountability for the VAR officials. There is no accountability for the referees making those decisions. Make Mike Riley come out every Monday morning, Tuesday morning, after that round of fixtures, and explain why that VAR decision wasn't overturned. Because suddenly then, that's putting pressure on them to go, everybody can see those wrong decisions. The Vertonghen sliding in, you know, taking him down. Everybody can see that should be a penalty. So Mike Riley should have to come out and explain why that wasn't given. And suddenly, there's then a bit of pressure on the officials to actually not just back their mates, to actually get the right decision. And that would be the easiest way. Because then suddenly you've got accountability, and by that you should get a higher standard.
Well, for some reason, and I'll tell you this straight away, and it's happened for years and years and years and years, and I can only remember once since I've been at TalkSport in a decade. Mike Riley came in with Anthony Taylor, I think it was, on one occasion. I was really impressed with both of them, and they told, and we were, you know, they did it properly, honestly, and everything. There was no, it was no hiding place or anything like that, and I was going to ask some difficult questions. Of course I was, but that seems gone. We've tried this season, and we were told, you can have who you like, and we'll have a man in from Stockley Park who's at the centre of things. It'll happen. Yes. They're backtracking already. They're not coming in. We can't even get hold of some of them and all this sort of stuff, because all they do is go to ground like the players.
No accountability.
Referees go to ground like the players do, and neither of them help each other or anything else. It's terrible.
Right. The fact that we can't see it, you know, at the grounds or on the TV, we can't see the workings out from Stockley Park.
Why don't we have a player like you or you every week is invited to Stockley Park to monitor the situation?
I think you can go further than that, Mark. I think on a Monday morning or a Tuesday, whenever you want, that there should be a programme which been put out by the Premier League or the referees, whatever it may be.
And me and Ray are going to host it, and you're going to be the in charge.
What they should do is go through the decisions and the reasons why they didn't think it should have been overturned. So we all know at the moment, we don't know the decisions that they're making because there's no process to go through it. And at the minute, it's just, that's what the decision they've made, just get on with it. Even if you're thinking, well, we do TV, we do radio, we do an analysis, we show what the reasons why we give our opinion why we think it was a penalty or not. But the people that matter, the ones that are making the decisions, are not coming out and telling us any story about it.
These are professionals. You know, they're getting paid to do a job. If you're a player and you make a mistake, it gets highlighted everywhere and everybody has their say on it. So I just think if they were accountable to what they have to, they then have to take responsibility for those decisions. At the moment, they're passing the buck all the time.
See, the thing is with all of this, and I think the sad thing of all of this, is nobody is accusing referees of anything more than having a really difficult job to do at the highest level. There's no cynicism, worrying about that sometimes they're making this decision, they're making that decision and not. That, none of that comes into it. But they've bought technology to help them,
and they're not using it properly.
No, because the combination of helping and technology should have improved them this season, and I don't think it has at all.
And over on the final word, Simon Jordan got stuck right into Spurs.
I think Tottenham have got to change it up. I think if the conventional wisdom, you know, you can fly in the face of it if you want to, and we all applauded. I know I did last year, not the summer gone before, the summer just recently gone, the summer before, where Tottenham didn't buy any players, wanted to maximise the talent they've got there, or so you'd be led to believe, and were successful, and proved and disproved the thinking that every single time a transfer window comes around, you have a butter mountain of players being brought in, rather than coach the ones you've got and build them. But we are now probably reaching a point with Tottenham where they need to change up. They need to change some of the characters in the dressing room. The manager's voice might be falling upon deaf ears in certain people's mindsets. There probably is a need for certain players to be shipped out. The Eriksen saga is ongoing, with other clubs now coming into the mix and potentially being interested in PSG.
Because it's cheap now, yeah.
Or because it's becoming cheaper. And ultimately, I think we've seen the reduction, albeit we saw Dele Alli back on the pitch doing something that Gordon Strachan used to rave about, being a really good number 10 when we used to do a show with Gordon on Mondays, and he was always, you and I were sort of scratching our head going, I don't get it. And he's going, no, hold on, he's one of the best number 10s around. And we saw more of that from Dele Alli. I just think Spurs are going through a difficult patch. It's, you know, their performance against Bayern, well, you know, with respect, Bayern are a far bigger football club than Tottenham, a far more experienced football club, and they hit everything they hit in that game winning.
Eight shots on target, and seven and 19, mugs, yeah.
But Spurs were poor. But what I was surprised with yesterday with Spurs, it was one particular instance which you probably saw, which is Harry Winks and Dele Alli sitting there looking at one another whilst one of the Watford players stole in
on the front foot
and showed the difference between, you know, football is played in the mind. The first yard, as Teddy Sheringham always tells us, is in your mind. Right? And those players' minds don't seem to be hunkered down and focused on being on the front foot. Now, how much of that is players with different agendas, as Pochettino likes to moot and talk about, and or how much of it is ultimately Pochettino not doing what he needs to do?
And Wales international Dan Bigger spoke to TalkSport's Ollie Hunter moments after their quarterfinal win over France in the Rugby World Cup.
World Cup semi-finalist, how's it feel?
Yeah, sounds quite nice actually, having that ring to it. I think we'd all like to be the World Cup finalists and certainly winners in the next couple of weeks. That's our aim, but a massive amount of relief I think is in the changing room and amongst the squad at the minute. We're fully aware that it was far from a good enough performance in most aspects, but one thing we've said, you can't train or you can't practice, is the amount of, you know, desire and the amount of resolve you show as a team and individuals, and we had that in abundance today, and just really relieved and really sort of pleased to have got through to a World Cup semi-final.
How big a rip was that from Thomas? He comes on, falls to Justin, and then the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, really, you know, it's a real big effort. First of all, the scrum was, you know, the pack of fours put a huge effort in there. That was, you know, pretty special from them. And then Thomas has done a great job, brought some great energy when he came onto the field, and then we just managed to keep our heads and finish the job off there. And like you said, it's I think it was really nice to have had the last 4 or 5 minutes we controlled really well. It was nice to have possession of the ball and control it that way rather than having to defend for our lives and rely on a mistake from France, really. So some great contributions from the bench and a massive effort from our pack in particular in that last half an hour.
And finally on the warm-up, another hugely controversial game of Culverhouse.
Richard Edgehill.
Phil Starbuck.
Lee Sinnott.
Dean Whitehouse.
Glyn Hodges.
Phil Stamp.
Phil King.
Gary Charles.
Steve Anthrobus.
Steve Chettle.
Frank Yallop.
Steve Vickers.
Steve Sedgley.
Goodney Bergson.
Dean Austin.
Mustafa Hadji.
Yusuf Chippo.
Pert Nogan.
Michel Vonk.
Didier Six.
Peggy Arfaxad.
Guy Butters.
Dale Gordon.
Richard Shaw.
Bobby Mims.
Phil Stamp.
I'm accusing you of double stamping.
Oh, really?
I think you've stamped twice there,
oh,
Barry.
No.
And after last week's terrible mistake here in Culverhouse.
On probation.
Oh, dear. After last week, mix-upping your mixus.
Well,
you yastiga line and a paddle line in last week, and you've double-stamped.
I definitely double-stamped?
I am 100% sure. I am Delafeo. You can please, like Delafeo.
Well, I appealing for VAR is against the rules, but yeah. I am appealing for VAR.
So that was it. The first of the new permanent award-winning Danny Kelly TalkSport Daily podcast. Don't forget, you can get it, download it, drag it down, do whatever you do at all the usual outlets. More next week. Thanks for being along for the ride.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.